Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They've done it against the Atlanta Braves. They pumped up 7 runs down here at the bottom of the 8th inning. They lead it 11-8. Incredible. Piazza with his 22nd home run of the year. And this place is absolute bedlam here at Shea.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
102 on this Friday midday. Mark Belusis with you. Get back to your calls in for BT and Tal. Get back to your calls here a little bit. Dave Lennon, national baseball writer for Newsday, joins me now, kicking off the 1 o'clock hour. Dave, it's been a long week. It really has without baseball. Mets and the Yankees are both hopeful and alive here in the second half. How are you, buddy?
Mark, what do you mean without baseball? What do you think was happening in Arlington, Texas for the past 4 days? I was out there on Saturday for the Futures game, watching Brandon Sprout light it up.
Yeah, Dave, it was tough. The All-Star game is what it is. I'm not knocking it. The jerseys were terrible. The Derby was okay.
It was
a little bit of a bore fest, the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I was going to say, baseball was there if you wanted to look for it over the All-Star break. But, man, if you had your TV set on watching those uniforms, I'm hoping, and I know this might seem like a minor thing, but aesthetically, you know, that they go back to the regular uniforms. I mean, I grew up, you know, watching games like that, really enhanced my love for the All-Star game when I was a kid, just looking for your, you know, your players and their uniforms. And I really think there's something to that. Hopefully they go back to it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was hard to identify. My kids, 11, totally. 9, and 7, you know, they're like, who's that? And yeah, you're trying to figure out who exactly. I mean, you know who they are because you're watching the game. But for those that are just flipping it on, it's hard to decipher who's who. You know, Dave, sure. you've been covering baseball in this city for a long time. Let's start with the Mets. You know, the special nature, and sometimes when things are unexpected, it makes it that much more enjoyable, especially when this team was sitting there June 2nd, June 3rd, 11 games under the 500 mark. What we have seen, and the Mets getting themselves back into it, 3 games over 500, second half begins tonight. Do you think it's sustainable?
I do, Mark. And the thing, and you mentioned, you know, the Mets, and I've been in the city for a while covering it. Yeah, I do get a sense that you know, with Mets fans that they're not really taking this for granted. I mean, considering the team's history, you know, that when they do move themselves into contention, that this is not an annual thing for the New York Mets. So it's not something that should be people should be looking at and saying, you know, well, they're not really that good, or, you know, let's not be fooled by the hot run. You know, we still have to think about the future. You know, I think there is something to this, Mark. And when you do say, is it sustainable? Yes, because this hasn't been about one or two players. You know, as great as Nimmo and Lindor have been in pulling this team back, and I should say J.D. Martinez to a certain extent too, you know, they've been getting production, Mark, up and down this lineup. And that's what gives you thought that, hey, you know, on the days that Nimmo and Lindor have cooled off, or when one of them isn't hitting, that there's other guys in this lineup. You know, I'd like to mention Pete Alonso as being a bigger contributor than he has been to this point. But you have guys further down in the bottom of the lineup, you know, a Harrison Bader that we've never seen before. I mean, we didn't see this guy in the Bronx, you know, in very limited short spurts, that one playoff run. But they have guys up and down this lineup. You know, I haven't even mentioned Alvarez, you know, who's a big contributor here. So this is not a one or two guy operation like we've seen in the Bronx for the past couple months. This is a lineup up and down. I think they can keep this going. And I'll also mention, as we know, you know, they have a deep rotation. You know, I'm not going to say a top of the league rotation, but enough bodies to get you through. Of course, it's the bullpen that's the big concern here.
Yeah, it is. And that's something that David Stearns is going to have to get aggressive with. Cohen understands the importance of field in a competitive team. He wants people at Citi Field. He knows that there's a battle for the entertainment dollar in this city. With that kind of as the backdrop, Dave, I want to ask you this. Is Stearns in complete control? I'm not telling you, Cohen's always going to, an owner's always going to be involved. My point being is, do you think Cohen, who's been, you know, active at times on social media, talked about how special things are and, you know, turning things around when they were playing really well in the month of June. Do you think David Stearns, if he doesn't want to make a move, do you think Cohen pushes him to be even more aggressive at the deadline?
Well, I'll preface that, Mark, by saying this. You know, I think we can all agree that this was a roster built to be dismantled at the trade deadline.
Correct.
If you look at the number of one-year contracts on this team that Stearns assembled, you know, Luis Severino, Sean Manaea is on a couple years, but also with an option. You know, Quintana on the back of his deal here. J.D. Martinez on a one-year deal. These are all pieces designed that if they had performed well and the team wasn't in contention, that could be spun off. Now, you know, they've all performed or exceeded expectations, and yet they're in a place now where you can't do that. You know, and I think Stearns even realizes that. And you mentioned, would Cohn want to go for it, and that, would that conflict with Stearns? I don't see that. You know, I really see these two being on the same page with what they want to do with this season. And I don't think that Stearns is going to be in a spot where, hey, I'm going to spin off a starting pitcher or two and try to see if we can wing it without a Manaea or without a Severino or without a Quintana or sell off somebody else part of it, whether you want to talk about an Alonso, which I don't think will happen now. But I think that Cohen and Stearns believe now, and looking ahead to these next 2 weeks, which are big, you know, that they've liked the excitement, they've liked the competitiveness they've seen from this team and the buzz they've created Citi Field. I've looked around now there, Mark, before the break. There's people in the building now.
Yeah.
And that's something we didn't see for the first couple months of the season. And I think they have to respect that from where they are, not only from a baseball competitive issue, but a business issue too.
Dave, the Met fan that right now is screaming, as even the baseball fan is screaming, go get some bullpen arms. This team it desperately needs it. Can't watch Diekman anymore. You know, they need a lefty. How aggressive do you think Stearns is going to be come July 30th?
Well, I mean, I think he's certainly going to be aggressive in conversations, that those are certainly happening. And he's certainly been a guy with an aggressive reputation coming from Milwaukee, even if he's coming from a spot that didn't spend a whole heck of a lot of money. I think the keys here for the Mets is, you know, can you take some big money off another team's hand? You know, can that be part of the equation where other teams might be willing to part with more minor league talent in order to get some of these players? So that's still an advantage for the Mets, is taking back salary in some of these relief pitchers. I think a great one for them, who isn't going to be on the market now, is Kenley Jansen, who is a guy that is making a ton of money and everyone thought that the Red Sox were going to put on the market. Lo and behold, you know, the Red Sox are very much part of the playoff race in the AL right now, and I don't see Jensen being on the market here. I thought that might be an interesting play for the Mets. The other guys there's going to be a lot of, you know, competition for. We've seen the names here, you know, whether it's Tanner Scott, you know, whether it's Carlos Estevez. I mean, these are guys that I think Scott has another $3.5 million left on his deal for the second half of the year. Estevez is making close to $7 million this year. So I'd like to see a situation where money was more of a factor, where Cohen's checkbook could come a little more into play as far as absorbing that, because I think that's where their advantage continues to be. Because they're just still not a team, I don't think, that is really kind of willing to go too deep into their system to get these players.
Dave, are you surprised Alonso has not reacted well being a contract year?
As far as performance goes?
Yes.
You know, I wondered about that to start, Mark. You know, Judge was really a guy with a chip on his shoulder, and you kind of had a sense that he was going to go out and show the Yankees and bulldoze the league, and that's exactly what he did. With Alonso, I wasn't quite so sure. You know, again, a very prolific power hitter, cornerstone of the team. I didn't get that same edge with Pete. He's just not kind of that same player mentally. That's not a knock as far as his competitiveness, just as far as that edge and kind of, you know, harboring that resentment against the organization, which can help going out into free agency. So sometimes it can get into players' heads. I do think with Pete that it's kind of snuck in there a bit, and may have held him back a little bit this year.
When you look at Kodai Senga, he's going to make one more rehab start. Dave, from your understanding, are we going to finally see, as long as everything goes well with that next rehab start up at AAA, you expect Kodai to be back in this starting rotation?
I mean, if this was a normal rehab thing, I'd say he'd be ready to go right after that. But as we've seen the stops and starts with Senga, Mark, is that it's tough to put faith in how his progress has gone. He's kind of switched gears so many times. I think now, and I hate to say it, I wonder about the fact that this team being competitive again has moved up his own mental timeline with this, because I'm stunned with how long that it's taken him to get back into this. And I think the Mets front offices too, this has really kind of surprised them how long this has kind of take to get through. He's been beyond the regular timeline for it. So based on the reports they've been getting from AAA and based on his performance and based on his health, yeah, I mean, I would expect him to come up right after that. And Mendoza has already said he expects them to go to a six-man rotation when Senga does come up to be a part of it.
You mentioned Mendoza, the job that he's done or did in the first half. Second half gets going tonight. Mets in Miami taking on the Marlins. What about Mendy? When it's going really well, he's going to get a ton of credit. Didn't get off to a great start, obviously, sitting there 11 games under 500. He talked about conversations. His reputation as being a guy that is very communicative with his players. What about the job that Mendoza has done here year one with the Mets, Dave?
I mean, Mark, I feel like he's already gotten them through 3 years of adversity in 3 months, right? I mean, hasn't it felt that way?
Yes.
I mean this team has been through so much craziness, whether it's the 0-5 start, getting back on their feet, going back in the tank again, coming back out of that. And I think that's a big testament to Mendoza's ability here. I wondered about him coming over from the Bronx only because, you know, when you go from bench coach to the big chair, you know, it's a huge step, you know, as far as the spotlight, as far as handling the media, as far as handling the criticism. And his limited exposure to that over in the Bronx, you know, he was still kind of feeling his way. He's taken to that extremely well, you know. And I think an important part of that, Mark, which we haven't seen as much with his former buddy Aaron Boone, is I think Mendoza's been pretty much a straight shooter. You know, I think when guys haven't performed to what they should be, when guys have made mistakes, when guys have to be smarter on the field, I think Mendoza's pointed that out. You know, we've seen Boone over in the Bronx kind of sugarcoat it to the point of, you know, bending reality to making fans crazy who are watching these games wondering what he's talking about.
Yes.
You haven't seen that with Mendoza.
No.
You know, and I think the players and the fan base appreciates that, and I think that can go a long way. And listen, he doesn't have the cachet built up that Aaron Boone has. I know Boone's in his last year of his deal, but Mendoza's trying to make a good impression too, and I think he's done that, you know, by being a straight shooter.
Yeah, Dave, I you know, and the example it brings up is Diaz. like when Diaz got, you know, banged for, you know, having the stuff on his hands and got the suspension, you know, people were kind of stunned with the reaction from Carlos Mendoza. I thought it was refreshing. I thought it was great.
What 100% in agreement with you on that, Mark. I mean, he wasn't going to pretend it didn't happen. You know, I mean, the amount of percentage of pitchers that get busted for this is, you know, a tiny, tiny percentage. So the umpires aren't just making this up. There's no vendetta against Diaz to get him off the field. There was something there, whether it was an excess of rosin, which, again, is illegal if you use too much of a legal substance, it's still open to discipline. So I think Mendoza's first point of that was frustration with his player. He's like, how could you put us in this spot? We're already incredibly shorthanded in the bullpen. Now we don't have our closer, and now our bullpen is going to be down a man because of what you did. I think it really disappointed. I mean, I think it made him incredibly frustrated, and I think he was honest about it. You know, his players can't do that. You know, they have to, but they can't put their team in that position. And I think that was the right way to handle it. And I think people inside this clubhouse knew that was the right way to handle it, too.
We're chatting with Dave Lennon, Newsday, national baseball writer. Dave, let's switch over to the Bronx here. How long was this All-Star break, given the fact that the team was 8-18 last 26 games? How long was this All-Star break here for the general manager, Brian Cashman?
Oh, I mean, in what sense? I mean, they went into the break as far as a disastrous finish to the first half that Sunday in Baltimore. Which really kind of wrecked what had been a good weekend and getting back and possibly going into the break in first place. So, you know, with Cashman, yeah, I mean, the crazy thing about Cashman is that we had been giving him a lot of credit for building a World Series contender for the first 2 months of this year. And then all of a sudden we have to switch gears now and say that he's built a fallible roster with guys that aren't performing to expectations, Stanton getting hurt again like he always does, and a rotation regressing more to the mean and not pitching more to the way that we thought it might, as opposed to lights out it was in the first 2 months. So, yeah, I mean, Cashman, he's got some work to do before the deadline here. You know, I never thought I'd say that John Birdie was so crucial to this team coming off the IL, but they could use something at third base, and what they've had so far isn't it. But I think a lot of it, the problem with the Yankees, Mark, is that they have guys in this lineup that aren't performing like they should have been in this season. And a lot of us, I didn't see it coming. Did I expect DJ LeMahieu to fall off a cliff once he got healthy again? No, I didn't see that happening. Older, getting hurt more, sure. But I expected some production out of that. Gleyber Torres going into his walk year.
Torres surprises me. Torres and Alonso are two examples. Torres to a lesser, to a greater extreme, because he's not anywhere close to the hitter he was a year ago.
No, I mean, we saw it with him. I mean, this is the guy that was hitting close to 40 home runs in his first 2 years in the league, kind of dipped after that. But then we saw some signs, you know, the past couple of years that maybe he was climbing back towards being that player again, and it just didn't happen. You know, I don't know whether his head wasn't in it, whether the frustration of the plate was hurting him in the field, where we've seen some of that nonchalance creep back and cost the Yankees in that respect. I mean, it's been a terrible year for Gleyber Torres, and that's been a guy that they pinned a lot of hopes on. You saw that just by the fact that he was starting the season in the leadoff spot, and it just didn't happen for him. Volpe, another guy, Mark, who they thought was turning a corner at the start of this year, and really kind of had went right back into being kind of, you know, a guy with question marks on whether or not he could really be that kind of offensive player. And those are two guys that have hurt him. The catching position, again, another spot that's been a rough patch for them. So, listen, Soto and Judge have carried this team, you know, given them performances that we've kind of expected. Judge maybe even a tick or two above that. But after that, the lineup is really something that's been holding this team down.
Dave, it's an all-in year for the Bombers. How all-in do you think Cashman will be come July 30th?
Well, I mean, I think he's going to do what he can try to do. I mean, can you get a third baseman in here? Can you get a Paredes from the Marlins? I know that's the big name that people have been talking about. Is there a name out there right now, which there usually is, that we haven't seen that he can swing a deal for? I know Spencer Jones is a name that keeps coming up. Are they willing to include him in a deal? I think, Mark, with you said all in, this being Soto's rental year, I think they have to start thinking that way. You know, we can talk about holding on to people for the future. I know front offices like to do that. But I think the big key here, Mark, and I know you've probably mentioned that recently, is that
Soto's like an anvil over this team's head. Let's be honest.
100%. I mean, with him being a rental year, you've got to do it with Soto on the roster this year. And you've got to do what you can to make it happen with him on the roster. And I think that's the mindset they have to have at this deadline.
But here's the other one, Dave, is that there are a lot of Yankee fans that look at this team and saying, well, can he rectify it all? Like, what's reasonable here? Like, what can Cashman and company do? Because there are, you have concerns about Holmes closing games out. Obviously the lineup outside of Soto and Judge has been non-existent. You hope that, Volpe and Verdugo wake up in the second half. I don't know about Gleyber Torres. Is there just too much for work for Cashman to do?
Yeah, you mentioned Verdugo. That's a great name too, Mark, that I'd forgotten that he has really kind of been out of it, in the past month as well. There's a lot of holes to plug here. But the other side of that, Mark, I mean, I think what Cashman has got to think, only because of all those holes, he has to expect a little bit of a bounce back here.
Fair.
Some of these players, Volpe and Verdugo in particular, have had terrible past months. Will they get a little bit more of that? I think what Cashman has to do here is look at the area of the biggest need. I'll put catcher on that spot, or third base certainly up there too, and decide what are the pieces that he's going to be able to get. He's always been good at getting bullpen arms at the break. That's kind of been his specialty. But is that as important as getting a third baseman in here? Is that as crucial as finding, a better person behind the plate? These are the things that he has to prioritize and decide, because there's only a limited amount of things that he can wind up doing and spots on this roster to do it in.
Dave, last one would be this. After game 162, you think both the Mets and the Yankees are playoff teams?
I do. I mean, I think the Yankees will find a way to get there. I don't see them falling out of the wild card race, and I think they'll hang around the Orioles. Listen, the Orioles weren't world beaters in the past 3 weeks or so heading into the break either, so they have a lot to show too. I do think, for the reasons we mentioned, Mark, I think the Mets are legit. I think the rotation has enough bodies there to see them through any type of injuries that might come up. They got a young arm in Christian Scott who can contribute. Senga coming back. The bullpen, I think they'll find a piece or two to help that, and I think they'll get a wild card spot. I'm pretty sure we'll have a nice October with both teams in it.
It's time for Cashman to put all the chips in the middle of the table. I know you got Soto for the rest of this year. That's the only guarantee you got. That's
the difference. That's the difference in past years is the Soto factor for sure.
Hey, Dave, appreciate it. It's great to have baseball back tonight. Always great catching up with you. Talk a little bit about the Mets and the Yankees, and we'll chat again soon, all right?
Hope so, Mark. Have a great weekend.
You got it. You as well. Dave Lennon from Newsday, national baseball writer, does a fantastic job. Time for today's call of the day. Well, hit the sounder first. Sorry. Oh, no sounder. Call of the day. Wasn't there usually a sounder? No, there was, right? No, today's call of the day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
+129, Melusis with you on this Friday midday. Darius Slayton was on the All Facts, No Breaks podcast with Keyshawn Johnson. Giants wide receiver was asked about... let's hear it. Here is Darius Slayton. He was asked a number of times about, obviously, Daniel Jones. I thought this was pretty intriguing. Take a listen.
Well, I saw last summer, you said, I hope I can play with him my entire career. We're talking about Daniel Jones. So would you follow him if he were to leave the Giants?
If it would work out the way she...
It's okay. No.
Let him answer.
Listen. Me specifically, I personally play well with DJ. Despite maybe Keyshawn, you experiences your career where it might not be the guy for everybody, but there's a quarterback. Sometimes people just get along. Like me and him see the game the same. So specifically, me and him hasn't been bad for me. Now you could say overall, you could maybe argue whatever for our team, this guy, that guy, whatever, but specifically, our connection has been strong ever since we came in, and for the most part, I've played good ball with him.
Yeah, well, that is true. There's no doubt. And Keyshawn, as long as you obviously threw him the damn ball, he was going to get along with quarterbacks. Listen, for Slayton, if you're going to look at, Jones was a captain last year, but if you're going to look at somebody on the Giants, especially offensively, that's always going to be in the foxhole of Daniel Jones, from my experience, it's always going to be Darius Slayton. You know, he is going to, and he went on in that interview to talk about, you know, supporting Jones, downplaying the comments that Patrick Peterson had to make. And the detractors are going to come out based on the amount of money that Daniel Jones is making. And that, you know, he does not necessarily matriculate his way through defenses, particularly what doesn't make quick decisions. The game is not slowed down, pocket presence, everything that we've talked about with Daniel Jones. But, you know, Slayton bringing up the fact of the turnover that Jones has seen early on, or up until this point, not early, up until this point of his NFL career as a quarterback. This is a prove it or, you know, go home kind of year. Not that it'll be out of the National Football League if you're Daniel Jones. I'm talking about in terms of relevancy for the Giants. Couple of things he has to overcome. Number one, has to overcome the questions about his injuries. He's had two neck injuries and a torn ACL. And coming back from that torn ACL that he suffered in Vegas last year against the Raiders. Number two, is can Daniel Jones show himself to be more than just a guy that at the quarterback, and what I mean by at the quarterback position, and what I mean by that is, can Daniel Jones raise his level of play? Because we all have made excuses over the course of the years for Daniel Jones. We have. Whether it be the coaches, whether it be the bad offensive line, you know, and all of that. But, I keep on harkening back. Is a great quarterback a product of the coaches? Or is a great quarterback just great? And you're going to be great irregardless of exactly who's coaching, because you're going to rise above because your skill set and your talent is that good. That's the issue you have when you look at Daniel Jones. He's often the guy that's beauty is in the eye of the beholder. However way you want to look at Jones as a player. But their question now is, Jones understands, as we talked about earlier in the week after the third edition of Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Giants, you know the Giants did their due diligence on quarterbacks in this past spring's NFL draft. And if they had an opportunity to get one of their guys, they were going to get him. They were not going to draft a quarterback for the sake of drafting the quarterback. That kind of conversation is stupid and nonsensical and would only compound the problem, put your organization in a worse spot. So they drafted a wide receiver out of LSU and Malik Nabers, who the Giants believe, and a lot of people around the National Football League that scout him coming out of LSU, if you watched him collegially in the SEC, is going to be a big-time playmaker. We've seen Jones respond before. Now he's got to respond again. I mean, that's it. Because if he doesn't, the Giants will get out from underneath that contract this year. And they'll trying to find maybe either their future quarterback or a stopgap measure until they find their future quarterback. But we could talk about the offensive line. It's improved. Playmakers around him have gotten better. Nabers should be a stud. He doesn't have Saquon Barkley. He's in Philadelphia. He's got Devin Singletary now running the football. Now everything, to quote Aaron Boone, everything's in front of him. How does he respond? Does he have a little anger? To bring up the what Dave Lennon brought up, you know, does he have the anger that Aaron Judge had toward the organization in his contract year? If he does, he'll be better off, and the Giants will be better off for it. Me against the world. I'll prove everybody wrong. Let's see exactly the fight, the competitive nature of Daniel Jones, because he's going to have to show every bit of that for not only the Giants to have a successful 2024, but for him to reinvigorate his career in the National Football League as well. Queensbound we go. It's Noel. It's the fan. What's going on, Noel?
Hey, how you doing, Moose? What's going on?
Good, Noel. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to hear you during the week. So I have to tell you, it's exciting. You know, here's a lefty for you for the Yankees. I think they should give him a call. Graham Lloyd. You know? I know.
Yeah, who didn't love Graham Lloyd? 6'7"? Crafty? No doubt.
You and I think I'm 51. I think we're close to the same age. So we, right? We followed the Yankees go through that whole thing because he was an unsung hero, but I'll move on. You know, I was hearing the gentleman talk about the Yankees' legacy. I mean, you can't take the legacy away from them, but I have to say, and I know that people jump on Cashman and Boone, but Cashman's first mistake was firing Girardi, who got the best out of Gary Sanchez. And then after he fired Girardi, he had nowhere to look. I believe in my heart he wanted the manager that the Red Sox hired. And then from there, you know, that's my feeling. He had a call, Aaron Boone. And I said it to my colleagues at school, and I'll say it again. Aaron Boone will never win a World Series with these Yankees. And you know,
I don't know about that. I really don't. I don't. You really think Boone's the problem?
Sorry, go ahead.
You wake up. I get frustrated with some of the rationalization after games, the way, you know, the platitudes he speaks to, some of the stuff that he has to say. And listen, Boone's a really good guy, very likable. There's a lot. I was there the night that he hit the home run, ghost coming out, the message from Derek Jeter. I was there at Yankee Stadium that night, sitting in the upper deck. I was with Carlin. You know, but like... Boone is the same guy when this team was 50-22 as he is now, going 8-18 in the last 26. The question is, is this team, are they getting, now, it matriculates on down, right? Because everything's a big collaboration. Got to remember that. So as much as much credit or blame you want to put on the manager, there's a lot of seats at that table.
No,
it's not the manager one in itself. To make the claim that the Yankees can never win with Aaron Boone, I don't necessarily buy that.
All right, but you know what? Again, so we'll talk about the players. You know what? Every year they say the same thing. If I hear how many times you won with you have Gleyber Torres, you pin your hopes on LeMahieu, you pin your hopes on Rizzo. You know, Cashman's locked up too much money with Stanton and Rodan. And I believe firmly that the reason this year is such a big disappointment is because they got Sosa. They traded, he never trades those kind of prospects away for a player. So this is the year, you know, this. So when people talk about, I hear what you say, yes, it would be a failure if they did not win the World Series, because I just don't see, I know you, everyone thinks, like you say, they print money. I just don't see them re-signing Sosa.
Soto. It's not Sosa. It's not Sammy Sosa. It's Juan Soto. I don't know. I can't tell you whether or not they will or they won't. You have a hard time envisioning him making more money than Aaron Judge. You do. Wearing a Yankee uniform, you do. How would Aaron Judge react to that? I think Judge wants to win. I mean, that would be the question. But I think Judge craves to win. Now, Aaron needs to hit in October. We know that. He's been great in the regular season. October will define him. And he needs to be that kind of player, that kind of guy, that kind of impact bat, that kind of pressure bat. I think the whole thing with the Yankees, you know, in kind of put it succinctly, you know, pressure makes diamonds. Do they feel the same amount of pressure, accountability going into the year? They say it, but it's a matter of actions. Is there that kind of accountability should the team lose? And what I mean by, you know, falling short in the playoffs, not being in contention, not being there at the end, all the stuff that you hear now. I mean, that's really goes completely opposite to where the Yankees used to be. But neither here nor there. The Yankees are sitting there. They open up a series tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. They got 58 wins on the regular season. They trail the Baltimore Orioles by one game in the American League East. Some of the answers for the Yankees and the solutions have to come from within. If they don't, there's too many holes for Brian Cashman to try and fill come the MLB trade deadline. But this team, as Lennon pointed out, it brought up, is Soto and his uncertainty an anvil hanging over this team's head? He said it is. I agree. And now it's time for Brian Cashman to go out there and act.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, quarter two on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Mark Melusis with you, in for BT and Sal. Take you right up until 2. Sean and Tiki, they come your way then. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. East Northport we go. It's Tom. It's the Fan. What's going on, Tommy?
Hey, Mark.
Tom, how are you, bud?
I'm okay. I'm enjoying this beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Oh, my goodness. It's a 10 out of 10.
No question.
I'm looking up at the sky. There's not a cloud in the sky.
Love it.
So, this might be a rhetorical question, but where is the Mets version, a 2024 version of Yoenis Cespedes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they necessarily need that version. They were desperate for an outfielder that go around. And, you know, he was the last guy on the list when you look back on it. You know, there was others in front of Yoenis Cespedes for Sandy Alderson, and he came here and obviously was unbelievable. You're worried about the lineup? I'm not worried about the lineup. Go out there and get yourself a reliever. Like, go out there and get yourself two relievers. That's what the Mets need to go out there and do.
They have holes to plug, but boy, there's got to be somebody out there that could, with a big bat, that could lengthen the lineup.
You're concerned about right now, Tommy. Honestly, you're looking up at this beautiful day. Yeah. You're looking out there. The Mets are getting going. Second half tonight against Miami, against the Marlins down in Miami. You're looking at this Met lineup, and you have concerns.
Yeah, I do, because the bullpen is just so weak.
Yeah, but rectify the bullpen. That's what they got to do. But you're not answering the question. I don't have concerns about the lineup. The lineup is the least of my concerns. It really is. Go out there, find some bullpen arms, find some quality bullpen arms. Then you don't have to worry necessarily about having to outscore teams night in and night out. You're going to get Kodai Senga back into the starting rotation. That's what, and everybody, listen, you can be the town idiot and understand that the Mets need to go out there and add bullpen arms. That's what they have to go out there and do. It's not to me about the lineup. The lineup's good. It really is. Nimmo, Lindor, hopefully Pete gets hot in the second half here. You've dealt with the injury of Marte, even though he wasn't great. But dealing with that bone bruise in his knee, Alvarez, Vientos, there's a lot to like here. What Iglesias has been able to do, I asked Pete before, what's more impactful, Hoff, across the way, OMG or Grimace?
I think OMG now is more impactful.
You think OMG? You think the Met fan has moved on from Grimace? As I stare at a Grimace costume here in the WFAN studios, you think Grimace, the Met fan, has moved past Grimace?
I think it's going to linger, but OMG has a more impact because it's daily. Like, every time they hit a home run, you hear OMG. I mean, Jose Iglesias just performed at the All-Star game.
Now, which song do you like more, Narco or OMG?
I'm a Narco guy.
You're a Monarch.
Yeah.
Even though ESPN during the Stanley Cup playoffs basically tried to kill that song.
I think we've all tried to kill that song in different ways. but yeah, I'm still Narco.
It was in and out of like every break during their coverage. But you're still a Narco guy.
Yeah.
Are you over Grimace?
I'm into whatever it takes to win. Dude, if Evan has to bring his beard back, let's go. If Tommy has to keep on saying he's the future of the station, I'm fine, whatever. If that means the Mets win, let's go.
Evan with the beard looked like a recluse, a vagabond. He looked like he was just roaming the earth. The beard was a tough look for Evan.
I think he kind of liked it. I think he feels a little naked without it. I got to be honest, I think he's having like postpartum issues.
You're a beard guy, but never to that. Have you ever grown the beard as long as he has?
No, that's too much.
Yeah, it's very itchy. Dove's got a nice, full, lustrous beard.
Do it for a trim, by the way.
You put oil in that?
No.
You take care of it? You trim it on a day in, day out basis?
No. When I get a haircut, I trim
shape it up? No. The barber does it all.
Well, I do my own haircutting, so yeah.
You do your you cut your own hair at home?
Yes.
Clippers?
My wife loves the way the floor is full of hair.
Clippers?
Electric clippers, yeah.
Now, multiple mirrors to get that done? Make sure you get
it? Nope, just the one.
Just the one. Just one, two, what do?
Different parts of the head have different numbers.
Learn something new. I never knew that Dove Kramer was a barber as well. I mean, that's amazing. I'd be fearful of cutting my own hair. I'd really be fearful. But good for you, Dove. Tony Ridgewood. What's up, Tony?
Hey, how you been? Evan thought he was Moses reincarnated with that beard. Trust me.
It was an impressive beard. As someone last fall that tried to grow a beard on multiple occasions, my partner over at Pix, Nelson Figueroa, said, grow the beard, grow the beard, grow the beard. It was a very tough experience. It really is. My wife did not like it. Very itchy, very scratchy, all those things. It did not accentuate. I don't have a lot of positives. Did not accentuate my positives.
No, you have very nice skin, I'm a straight man telling you that. But anyway, as far as we're talking about your fill of the Yankee prospects, right?
Yeah.
So here we go. There's an argument always, and this goes way back, but there's a reason why, and this happened in the Steinbrenner era. Let's get some names out. Willie McGee. Jade Buhner.
Yeah, for Ken Phelps.
Smart McGregor. Tippy Martinez. And this one I'm not sure of. What about Mike Flanagan? Was he theirs or was he ever ours?
I'm not sure about Flanagan. I'm not 100% sure. Doug Drabek. You didn't throw in Doug Drabek.
Oh, that's the one. Doug Drabek.
Yeah, remember watching him pitch big-time games for the Pirates, and he was a former Yankee.
Right. Yeah. That was the one I couldn't think of, but thank you for reminding me.
Who was the pitcher that couldn't pitch? Ed Whitson. Ed Whitson was the one that couldn't pitch.
Well, he wasn't ours. You know, he just came here and beat up Billy Martin. You know, he was the only guy that ever knocked out Billy Martin.
I mean, listen, I was full of hope with the great Kevin Moss year.
That's a good one, yeah. But yeah. We didn't trade him then. We didn't trade him.
He rotted away at the vine. Then the strangest. If you go back and watch Kevin Moss, he is the strangest batting stance you'll ever see. It was like you sitting on a chair.
High stool.
Yes. Or a high stool. Yes, Tony. Good reminiscing with you. Appreciate the call. Out to Manalapan. It's Vincent. It's the Fan. What's going on, Vincent?
Hey, man, I want to talk about the possibility of Pete Alonso being trade deadline. We're really seriously approaching that time. Subway Series coming up, but although he struggled, why would you trade such a hitter like him? You're not going to be able to replace 35 home runs at least a season that we've got from him every season since 2019.
Who's telling you that he's going to get traded?
It's a big possibility that Pete Alonso
is it? Is it really? Is it with the Mets three games over 500? Is it with the Mets right now, if the season ended today, they'd be a wild card team in the National League? Like, is really trading Pete Alonso right now in the grand scope of probability or possibility?
At this point, no.
But yes, no, right.
There was a lot of buzz around it.
When the team stunk.
It makes no sense.
Well, when the team well, here was the thing that I thought was tricky at the time. When the team was terrible and people were talking about trade away Alonso and then try and sign him back as a free agent, that's a tricky road to kind of work your way down. It could be filled with a lot of potholes and bumps. I don't know if I necessarily do that. I've said it here. I've said it this week, filling in on the midday show. I've said it on my Sunday morning show. Listen, I think Alonso should be a long-term Met. I think Pete Alonso, within reason, should sign a contract after this year. And I think his struggles, even though could help out the Mets and benefit the Mets, where it is not as big of a financial commitment as it once was. Now, I'm rooting for Alonso to have a big second half because I think it would be great for him and it would be great for the Mets organization. I'd love to see both the Mets and the Yankees in the postseason in the respective National and American League. But Alonso, I never was in favor of moving him. It was more of a distinct possibility when the team was terrible. They're not going to trade him come July 30th. And I think after the season, they're going to sign him.
Of course, and they shouldn't. They should be shopping for bullpen arms like we've needed. Our bullpen's been horrible all season, with the exception of Brooks Raley being hurt all season. I mean,
well, Raley, I mean, Drew Smith, they've had two guys they've lost, and Vincent, thanks a lot for the call. They've lost two guys to Tommy John surgery. I mean, that's tough to overcome. Edwin Diaz came back, wasn't the Edwin Diaz of 22. Working his way back from that knee injury that he suffered in the World Baseball Classic. It is obviously the bullpen. The fact that the Mets are sitting here three games over 500 with the bullpen that has underperformed to the degree that it has is really a credit to each and every one of those players. Because you have seen bullpens absolutely destroy teams. And this bullpen tried. I mean, they tried their darndest. They did everything they possibly could to cut off complete and all momentum. And the resiliency of this team is a credit to them. Did want to close on one note before we hand it off to Sean and Tiki, and they take you through the afternoon, is this. You know, the Open Championship, final major, doesn't get as much buzz here, obviously, as compared to the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the Masters. But take it over, place over in Royal Troon. I bring it up for this example, not about Shane Lowry, but about Tiger Woods, who missed the cut, or is going to miss the cut, finished his two rounds at 14 over par. I bring it up because there have been some, Colin Montgomery, to name one of them, or the guy at the top of the list that brought in that, you know, Tiger should call it a career, that it's done. He can no longer contend. Tiger fired back and said, as a previous winner of the Open, that I am exempt till he's 60. And he's not wrong. He's absolutely right. I'll say it's tough to watch Tiger Woods play golf the way that he is now, knowing, having lived through it, having watched what at his time, at his peak, was as dominant an athlete, regardless of sport, that I have ever seen. That's how good Tiger Woods was when he was at his peak. It was unbelievable. He made golf cool. He revolutionized the sport. Look at the golfer and the way the golfer looks now and the way that he takes care of himself compared to where they were 30 or 40 years ago. It is a night and day difference. And I say all of that for this. Tiger should not be taken, and it happens, especially when athletes age, especially Tiger dealing with that leg injury that suffered in 21 when he rolled his car and fractured his fibula and tibia. Tiger Woods should and has earned the right to decide to when his career is over, when he will no longer compete. And those that want to take pot shots at him now, shame on them. I'm not saying he's the most defensible guy. We're not talking about off the golf course, any of that nonsense. I'm talking about any of that stuff that happened with him. I'm talking about on the course. What Tiger Woods has done for golf. I will never see a greater golfer than Tiger Woods. Kyle Montgomery, save it. Why this week he decided to do that, who knows. Dove! Love you, brother. Good luck with the pink eye.
Thanks so much.
You got it. Pete, good luck with that ticket. Glad you paid it. Enjoy yourselves, everybody. Have yourself a wonderful Friday. Beautiful day. Taking you through the afternoon. Sean, Tiki, come your way next right here. Where else? The Fan in New York.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Pointed out, it brought up, is Soto and his uncertainty an anvil hanging over this team's head? He said it is. I agree. And now it's time for Brian Cashman to go out there and act.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
On this beautiful Friday afternoon, Mark Melusis with you, in for BT and Sal. Take you right up until 2. Sean and Tiki, they come your way then. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. East Northport we go. It's Tom. It's the Fan. What's going on, Tommy?
Hi, Mark.
Tom, how are you, bud?
I'm okay. I'm enjoying this beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Oh, my goodness. It's a 10 out of 10.
No question.
I'm looking up in the sky. There's not a cloud in the sky.
Love it.
So, this might be a rhetorical question, but where is the Mets version, a 2024 version, of Yelena's hospital?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they necessarily need that version. They were desperate for an outfielder that go around. And, you know, he was the last guy on the list. When you go back on it, you know, there was others in front of Yoenis Cespedes for Sandy Alderson, and he came here and obviously was unbelievable. You're worried about the lineup? I'm not worried about the lineup. Go out there and get yourself a reliever. Go out there and get yourself two relievers. That's what the Mets need to go out there and do.
They have holes to plug, but boy, there's got to be somebody out there that could, with a big bat that could lengthen the lineup.
You're concerned about right now, Tommy. Honestly, you're looking up at this beautiful day. Yeah. You're looking out there. The Mets are getting going. Second half tonight against Miami, against the Marlins down in Miami. You're looking at this Met lineup and you have concerns?
Yeah, I do, because the bullpen is just so weak.
Yeah, but rectify the bullpen. That's what they got to do. But you're not answering the question. I don't have concerns about the lineup. The lineup is the least of my concerns. It really is. Go out there, find some bullpen arms. Find some quality bullpen arms. Then you don't have to worry necessarily about having to outscore teams night in and night out. You're going to get Kodai Senga back into the starting rotation. That's what. And everybody, listen, you can be the town idiot and understand that the Mets need to go out there and add bullpen arms. That's what they have to go out there and do. It's not to me about the lineup. The lineup's good. It really is. Nimmo, Lindor, hopefully Pete gets hot in the second half here. You've dealt with the injury of Marte, even though he wasn't great. But dealing with that bone bruise in his knee, Alvarez, Vientos, there's a lot to like here. What Iglesias has been able to do. I asked Pete before, what's more impactful, Hoff, across the way, OMG or Grimace?
I think OMG now is more impactful.
You think OMG? You think the Met fan has moved on from Grimace? As I stare at a Grimace costume here in the WFAN studios, you think Grimace, the Met fan, has moved past Grimace?
I think it's going to linger, but OMG has a more impact because it's daily. Like, every time they hit a home run, you hear OMG. I mean, Jose Iglesias just performed at the All-Star game.
Now, which song do you like more, Narco or OMG?
I'm a Narco guy.
You're a monarch.
Yeah.
Even though ESPN during the Stanley Cup playoffs basically tried to kill that song.
I think we've all tried to kill that song in different ways. but yeah, I'm still Narco.
It was in and out of like every break during their coverage. But you're still a Narco guy.
Yeah.
Are you over Grimace?
I'm into whatever it takes to win. Dude, if Evan has to bring his beard back, let's go. If Tommy has to keep on saying he's the future of the station, I'm fine, whatever. If that means the Mets win, let's go.
Evan with the beard looked like a recluse, a vagabond. He looked like he was just roaming the earth. The beard was a tough look for Evan.
I think he kind of liked it. I think he feels a little naked without it. I got to be honest, I think he's having like postpartum issues.
You're a beard guy, but never to that. Have you ever grown the beard as long as he has?
No, that's too much.
Yeah, it's very itchy. Dove's got a nice, full, lustrous beard.
Do it for a trim, by the way.
You put oil in that?
No.
You take care of it? You trim it on a day in, day out basis?
No. When I get a haircut, I trim
shape it up? No. The barber does it all.
Well, I do my own haircutting, so yeah.
You do you cut your own hair at home?
Yes. Clippers? My wife loves the way the floor is full of hair.
Clippers?
Electric clippers, yeah.
Now, multiple mirrors to get that done? Make sure you get
it? Nope, just the one.
Just the one. Just one, two, what do you do?
different parts of the head have different numbers.
Ah, I didn't listen. Learn something new. I never knew that Dove Kramer was a barber as well. I mean, that's amazing. I'd be fearful of cutting my own hair. I'd really be fearful. But good for you, Dove. Tony Ridgewood, what's up, Tony?
Hey, how you been? Evan thought he was Moses reincarnated with that beard. Trust me,
it was an impressive beard. As someone last fall that tried to grow a beard on multiple occasions, my partner over at Pix, Nelson Figueroa, said, "Grow the beard, grow the beard, grow the beard." It was a very tough experience. It really is. My wife did not like it. Very itchy, very scratchy, all those things. It did not accentuate. I don't have a lot of positives. Did not accentuate my positives.
No, you have very nice skin, I'm a straight man telling you that. But anyway, as far as we're talking about your fill of the Yankee prospects, right?
Yeah.
So here we go. There's an argument always, and this goes way back, but there's a reason why, and this happened in the Steinbrenner era. Let's get some names out. Willie McGee, Jay Buhner.
Yeah, for Ken Phelps.
Smart McGregor. Tippy Martinez. And this one I'm not sure of. What about Mike Flanagan? Was he theirs or was he ever ours?
I'm not sure about Flanagan. I'm not 100% sure. Doug Drabek. You didn't throw in Doug Drabek.
Oh, that's the one. Doug Drabek.
Yeah, remember watching him pitch big time games for the Pirates, and he was a former Yankee.
Right. That was the one I couldn't think of, but thank you for reminding me.
Who was the pitcher that couldn't pitch? Ed Whitson. Ed Whitson was the one that couldn't pitch.
Well, he wasn't ours. You know, he just came here and beat up Billy Martin. You know, he was the only guy that ever knocked out Billy Martin.
I mean, listen, I was full of hope with the great Kevin Moss year.
That's a good one, yeah. But we didn't trade him then.
He rot away at the Vine. And the strangest, if you go back and watch Kevin Moss, he is the strangest batting stance you'll ever see. It was like you sitting on a chair.
A high stool.
Yes, or a high stool. Yes, Tony. Good reminiscing with you. Appreciate the call. Out to Manalapan. It's Vincent. It's the fan. What's going on, Vincent?
Hey, man, I want to talk about the possibility of Pete Alonso being trade deadline. We're really seriously approaching that time. Subway Series coming up, but although we struggled, why would you trade such a hitter like him? You're not going to be able to replace 35 home runs at least a season that we've got from him every season since 2019.
Who's telling you that he's going to get traded?
It's a big possibility, I feel.
Is it? Is it really? Is it with the Mets three games over 500? Is it with the Mets right now, if the season ended today, they'd be a wild card team in the National League? Like, is really trading Pete Alonso right now in the grand scope of probability or possibility?
At this point, no.
But yes, right.
There was a lot of buzz around it.
When the team stunk.
It makes no sense.
Well, when the team here was the thing that I thought was tricky at the time. When the team was terrible and people were talking about trade away Alonso and then try and sign him back as a free agent, that's a tricky road to kind of work your way down. It could be filled with a lot of potholes and bumps. I don't know if I necessarily do that. I've said it here. I've said it this week, filling in on the midday show. I've said it on my Sunday morning show. Listen, I think Alonso should be a long-term Met. I think Pete Alonso, within reason, should sign a contract after this year. And I think his struggles, even though could help out the Mets and benefit the Mets, where it is not as big of a financial commitment as it once was. Now, I'm rooting for Alonso to have a big second half because I think it would be great for him and it would be great for the Mets organization. I'd love to see both the Mets and the Yankees in the postseason in the respective National and American League. But Alonso, I never was in favor of moving him. It was more of a distinct possibility when the team was terrible. They're not going to trade him come July 30th. And I think after the season, they're going to sign him.
Of course, and they shouldn't. They should be shopping for bullpen arms like we've needed. Our bullpen's been horrible all season, with the exception of Brooks Raley being hurt all season. I mean,
Drew Smith. They've had two guys they've lost, and Vincent, thanks a lot for the call. They've lost two guys to Tommy John surgery. I mean, that's tough to overcome. Edwin Diaz came back, wasn't the Edwin Diaz of 22. Working his way back from that knee injury that he suffered in the World Baseball Classic. It is obviously the bullpen. The fact that the Mets are sitting here three games over 500 with a bullpen that has underperformed to the degree that it has is really a credit to each and every one of those players. Because you have seen bullpens absolutely destroy teams. And this bullpen tried. I mean, they tried their darndest. They did everything they possibly could to cut off complete and all momentum. And the resiliency of this team is a credit to them. Did want to close on one note before we hand it off to Sean and Tiki, and they take you through the afternoon, is this. You know, the Open Championship, final major, doesn't get as much buzz here, obviously, as compared to the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the Masters. But take it over, place over in Royal Troon. I bring it up for this example, not about Shane Lowry, but about Tiger Woods, who missed the cut, or is going to miss the cut, finished his two rounds at 14 over par. I bring it up because there have been some, Colin Montgomery, to name one of them, or the guy at the top of the list that brought in that, you know, Tiger should call it a career, that it's done. He can no longer contend. Tiger fired back and said, as a previous winner of the Open, that I am exempt till he's 60. And he's not wrong. He's absolutely right. I'll say it's tough to watch Tiger Woods play golf the way that he is now, knowing, having lived through it, having watched what at his time, at his peak, was as dominant an athlete, regardless of sport, that I have ever seen. That's how good Tiger Woods was when he was at his peak. It was unbelievable. He made golf cool. He revolutionized the sport. Look at the golfer and the way the golfer looks now and the way that he takes care of himself compared to where they were 30 or 40 years ago. It is a night and day difference. And I say all of that for this. Tiger should not be taken, and it happens, especially when athletes age, especially Tiger dealing with that leg injury that suffered in 21 when he rolled his car and fractured his fibula and tibia. Tiger Woods should and has earned the right to decide to when his career is over, when he will no longer compete. And those that want to take pot shots at him now, shame on them. I'm not saying he's the most defensible guy. We're not talking about off the golf course, any of that nonsense. I'm talking about any of that stuff that happened with him. I'm talking about on the course. What Tiger Woods has done for golf. I will never see a greater golfer than Tiger Woods. Colin Montgomery, save it. Why this week he decided to do that, who knows. Dove! Love you, brother. Good luck with the pink eye.
Thanks so much.
You got it. Pete, good luck with that ticket. Glad you paid it. Enjoy yourselves, everybody. Have yourself a wonderful Friday, beautiful day. Taking you through the afternoon. Sean, Tiki, come your way next right here. Where else? The Fan in New York.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.